Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Our text is the second reading we heard, and I just want to continue on a little bit from the reading itself, from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, from verse 14. For the love of Christ urges us on, because we are convinced that one has died for all, therefore all have died. And he died for all, so that those who live might live no longer for themselves, but for him who died and was raised for them. From now on, therefore, we regard no one from a human point of view. Even though we once knew Christ from a human point of view, we know him no longer in that way. So if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. See, everything has become new. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ, and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting the message of reconciliation to us. So we are ambassadors for Christ. Since God is making his appeal through us, we entreat you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, fill us with your Holy Spirit this morning, so as we hear your word, your love would compel us to go share your word. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. How many of you have had the pleasure of teaching your children to drive? Some of you. I haven't had to face that ordeal yet. But I can remember talking once to a cousin of mine who had just taken his teenage son for his first driving lesson. And he said that he asked his son, "What's the first thing you do when you get in the car?" And his son replied, "You turn on the radio." Now, you see, my cousin had been thinking of safety first, of course. You buckle the seatbelt in, you adjust the seat, you check the rear vision mirror, you put your foot on the brake. He'd been thinking of safety, but all his teenage son wanted to do was to hear the music and off you go. When it comes to the mission of the church, our first thought is often one of survival, of personal safety and our own comfort. We keep looking in the rear vision mirror, adjusting the seat and keeping our foot on the brake, always asking how it was done in the past, worrying about setting precedents for the future, and afraid to look out the front window to see what God might want us to do and where he might want us to go. We fear making mistakes. We fear getting it wrong and crashing the church. By nature, I'm a cautious person. But you know, maybe my cousin's son was right. Maybe what we need to do more of is to listen to the music and get going. You see, a 16, 17-year-old goes nowhere without music. And the church can go nowhere without music either. Without the music of the gospel beating in the hearts and playing on the minds of every member. St. Paul knew that. That's why he wrote, "Christ's love compels us." That's the petrol in his tank, Christ's love. That's what drove him on. That's what urged him forward. That's what grabbed and inspired and motivated him. That's what directed and controlled his ministry. The gospel rings in Paul's ears. It plays on his mind. It beats in his heart, and it makes him want to Just get on and keep on going. It impelled him and compelled him and propelled him into mission. Did you hear that music this morning? Not the music of our response to God, but the music of his love. Did you hear that song of love that our Lord sung to you in the reading from St. Paul? That love that said, I died for you, each one of you. And not just you, but for all people. The ones that you like and the ones you don't like. The ones that look like you and the ones that don't. The ones who have nothing and the ones who have everything. I died for all people. And I died for you and I was raised for you to reconcile you to God. To bring you together again. And God doesn't count your sins against you anymore. Because he counted them against me on the cross. And in fact, I became sin so that you might be the very righteousness of God. That you might be holy. And Jesus goes on, he says, now when I look at you, I see a new person. Everything old has passed away. When I saw you standing in the shower this morning with the water cascading over you, I saw you in all your baptismal glory. My new creation. Ready for a new day in my world, ready for my mission to my world. And as my new creation, you have my eyes to look at the world. And so you no longer look at other people from a worldly perspective, judging them as the world does. But you see them as I see them. And when you look at me, you don't see a man, but you see your Lord and Saviour. And when you look at each other, you don't see sinner written across each other. You see the word saint. You see the new creation even on a bad day. And when you look at unbelievers, you don't see the enemy, but you see people in need of redemption, people whom I died for. You see a broken and sinful world reconciled to God through me, a world that needs to hear this message. And so that is your mission task. You no longer live for yourselves. You live for the one who died for you. The one who was raised for you. That's your mission. And I call you to represent me before the world, to be my ambassadors. When I love, you love. When I speak, you speak. When I forgive, you forgive. Here I'm giving you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. You can drive. Turn the music on. Feel the gospel beating through the subwoofers. And go without fear to my people and tell them of the reconciling love that I have for them. It's my church. You can't crash it. What a love song that is. What a humbling, terrifying, exciting thought. That compelling love of Christ that has been shown to us and that is spoken to us this morning. And St. Paul says, all this is from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. It's his mission. We're just caught up in it. We're caught up in God's process of reconciliation. And so we speak that message to others. We tell them that God loves them through Christ, that God has reconciled them as well, that their sins aren't counted against them, that Jesus died for them too. Sadly, we don't accept the responsibility of ambassadorship. We want the perks, but not the pain. But being an ambassador of Christ is not an easy ride. There's a cross that comes with that too. And that's why Paul calls himself an ambassador in chains. In Germany, near the town of Wetterberg, stands the Buchenwald concentration camp, which was set up by the Nazi regime in the Second World War. And Buchenwald wasn't an extermination camp, but still 56,000 people died there. Soviet prisoners of war, political prisoners, gypsies, handicapped people. And in the isolation cell there is a memorial to another Paul, a pastor Paul Schneider. And he was tortured for standing up to the evil, for refusing to take his cap off to the officers in the camp. But even in isolation, he kept preaching to his fellow prisoners, to the guards. And he was the first pastor to die in a camp. But in that place of death, this man preached about new life, about reconciliation, and about God's love through the death of one man. And on the wall of his cell, he scribbled in pencil the passage from 2 Corinthians 5:20. "We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God." And there's a plaque on the wall that has that inscription today. A witness not only to Pastor Paul Schneider, but to the love of Christ which compelled him. And even today, people throughout the world put themselves in situations of great danger in order to tell others of Christ's love. I get a regular newsletter from a pastor in Queensland whose mission it is to raise the awareness of overseas mission in our Lutheran church, to raise the awareness of how our brothers and sisters in Asia are coping with being ambassadors. It's a newsletter called Asia Focus. If you're interested, I'll give you a copy. But there's not one edition, I don't think, that comes out without a story of amazing courage, of someone who risks everything to tell others of Christ's love. And when I think of that, I think how easy it is to be an ambassador for Christ here in Australia. And yet there are so many bars and chains which threaten to hold back the mission of God in this world, in our world. And sometimes those bars come from within us. Sometimes they come from the world around us. Sometimes they even come from our own church. But don't let them stop you proclaiming Christ's love. Let his love compel you to keep on going and to speak and to be his ambassadors through the bars and despite the chains. What is it that will drive us home, that will drive us on in God's mission? What is it that will move us to find new ways of proclaiming the good news? What is it that will make us take our foot off the brake and move in new directions? What is it that will enable us to bear the pain of being ambassadors for Christ? The only thing I know is the love of Christ. That unexpected, undeserved, extravagant grace that reconciles us to God, that brings us together, not counting our sins against us, and a love that's big enough to embrace all people, and to reconcile all people to Jesus himself on the cross. So with the beat of the gospel thumping in our hearts, Christ compels us forward. Amen. And the grace and peace and love of God, which passes all our human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds safe in Christ Jesus. Amen.